webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
Thank you, Robert Moore, and greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's hump day, Wednesday, October 19th, 2011, the only October 19th, 2011 in the history of humanity. Welcome in across the globe. We are glad to have you on live or on the archive. This is the weekly venture, the weekly voyage. All right, we got to go to right to that. What was that?
What was what?
What we heard in the background.
Was that me?
Yeah, you turned something off.
Oh, I'm just shutting.
No, you know what? It was probably our first caller that nobody else heard. It was a very strange sound. We'll get to that in a minute.
Is he making strange sounds already?
I think he's making strange sounds, but we need to have a proper introduction for the voice that you just heard. All the way from the home offices in Houston, Texas of the Gospel Revolution, please welcome online Mr. Michael Williams. Michael.
Hey, Glenn.
Michael.
Good evening.
It is a great evening. It is chilly here in the Bay of the
yeah.
Holy Spirit. Yeah, it's chilly. It's literally chilly. It is somewhat affected the turnout of bike night next door at the rack. And so you may not hear the engines revving so much tonight because the wimps and the wussies stayed home. They did not throw on their leather. They did not come out. And so we're happy for that. The people, the proprietors of the rack are not happy with that. But it is the first cool night in Florida since last year. And the rapture did not happen. The end of the world did not happen. The cold weather has returned to the Sunshine State.
Yeah, you know, we got kind of the same weather report here. It's just absolutely beautiful out, but there's definitely a chill in the air, the first one that we've had since summer started here many, many months ago. So, everyone in Houston, the only thing that I hear from anyone in Houston about the weather is, oh, I love it. I get to wear my sweaters.
Right, exactly. That's exactly right. We love the long sleeves. And for those of us, especially transplants from the north, this is a little bit reminiscent of home. And we are happy to have it. We're happy to have you along for the journey here on the Gospel Revolution. And we are committed, ladies and gentlemen, as you may have read in today's e-newsletter, we are committed to being done with this particular program and every program right around the 60-minute mark. So we need to have your inclusion involved right from the get-go. We're happy to report we've got a couple of correspondents online with us, and we will be talking about our reasoning behind that as we progress. But I would be remiss, Michael, not to start out the program with something that happened at last night's Republican presidential debate in Las Vegas, Nevada. Seven Republicans contending for their party's nomination for the presidency of the United States. And, of course, as you beautiful humans know, we like to tie the gospel into everything that we can. And I thought it was so wonderful last night when they brought up faith, especially in wake of the controversy that followed Rick Perry's pastor, the governor of Texas, being introduced by this pastor, and then his comments about how Mormonism, which is the religion of Mitt Romney, the former governor of Massachusetts, and also John Huntsman, the former governor of Utah. Interesting that two out of the eight contenders are Mormons. But this pastor said, as most evangelical Christians believe, that Mormonism is a cult. And as we pointed out on last week's program, by very definition, all of Christianity in any sect, whether you consider Mormonism part of Christianity or not, every religion is a cult, by definition. But here was the question in light and in the wake of this controversy. They asked what place faith should have in choosing a presidential candidate. And the former Speaker of the House of the United States, Newt Gingrich, said something that I want to get your comments on, Michael. Newt said that nobody who does not pray should be allowed to have the power of the presidency. Your thoughts?
Wow. I'm not shocked. It's just that my mindset is so far removed from that for anyone in any rank or any service or lack thereof, especially to the country, to think that that would be a spoken qualification. But you know, at least it's out there.
Right, and
people are saying what they think. You know,
that's true. But not only is it out there in a spoken qualification, this guy's a credible candidate. I mean, Newt Gingrich is the former Speaker of the House of the United States.
Oh, yes.
By the way, after his last divorce, when he asked for a divorce for his previous wife in the hospital when she was battling cancer, and he was having an affair with one of his staff members, his current wife is Catholic, and he has converted to Catholicism. And so not only is it out there...
Well, you do what you got to do.
I know. But it's not like just a fly-by-night guy. It's not like Rick Santorum, the former senator from Pennsylvania, or Michelle Bachmann, wingnut from Minnesota, saying something like this. This is the former Speaker of the House, third in line from the presidency. And so here's my question, Michael, is faith and by extension, the act of faith, the prayer that they are asking people to make, should that be a requirement for somebody serving in the most powerful office that has ever been devised by mankind?
Well, you know, just up front, no. And let me also speak up on behalf of the senator from Minnesota. There's a lot of people that don't think she's a wing nut, so...
No, she's a congresswoman. She would never be.
She's
such a wingnut that she would never be a senator. But that's just my opinion, folks.
There you go. That's Brother Glenn's opinion. But anyway, my goodness, I would be appalled at that. I mean, then if you're going to require prayer, are you going to require, you know, is it going to be a Catholic prayer? Is it going to be done in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Is it going to be done in the name of Jesus only? Is praying as a Buddhist acceptable? As is praying as a Muslim going to be acceptable? So if you have to pray, does that mean that, and I think that he would automatically disqualify anyone of the Muslim faith or any other multitude of faiths around the world. So, I mean, really, basically, he's saying that only Christians need apply.
Well, and only Christians, as you said, that probably pray kind of like he does. You know, if you're a serious Christian, you got to say not only do you need to pray, but you got to at least tithe. If you want the economic and financial blessings of God on the country that you're leading, you better damn well tithe.
Yeah, absolutely. And, and he should believe that the government should tithe too. Just give 10% of it away right off the top, or it's, you know, the government will collapse for sure. Based on the doctrine, I mean, goodness gracious, you know, that's what we taught everybody is in any kind of business or anything. You didn't just tithe personally. If you tithed your business separate from personally and, you know, if you sold stock or whatever, you tithe right straight off the top of that.
Exactly. And you,
if you were anybody who expected anything.
Exactly. And you cannot just tithe off the net income. You better be tithing off the gross income, because if you want a gross blessing, you better tithe off the gross, or you're going to get a net blessing.
Yeah, well, I remember all those terms, that's for sure.
You know.
It was required, that's for sure. We would just have been appalled to find somebody the circles that didn't tithe. I mean, that would have just been, just been absolutely unheard of. You just were not a true believer. You weren't a Christian if you didn't tithe.
A long time ago, we discovered that Yeshua became our tithe.
Yes.
That there is no tithe required. But relatively recently, and I'm saying, you know, within the last couple of years, Michael, we found out that Yeshua, salvation, the Word made flesh, was also not just the fulfillment of the tithe in every law of God and every prophecy, but he fulfilled the Psalms too. He fulfilled prayer as well.
Yes, if he, that was the thing that we encountered in the last couple of years, is broaching into this area of prayer. And, and as with all of these subjects, and anybody that's known me for any amount of time knows that I don't take these things lightly, and we approach them slowly. And we introduce them to the mildest degree that we can. And number one, because I'm having to make up my mind about these things. So, I'm not going to start saying things that I don't, am not sold on for sure. But I really, over time, I became, very convinced about the issue of prayer. The book of Psalms is scripture, but it's a book of prayers. I can't think of a prayer you would pray that would not have already been in the book of Psalms.
It's a book of it's a book of prayer. It's a book of praise. It's a book of a book of worship.
Yes.
You guys got to realize that Yeshua is our praise. He is our worship. He is our prayer. It's all fulfilled. Now, obviously, you guys can do whatever you want to do, but for me and my house, we don't ask God. I cannot remember, Michael, the last time I asked God for anything. And here's a guy that asked God for everything at one time. I used to ask God what shirt I should wear today.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, for me, the counterbalance, if you will, to this issue is the confession of sin. Years ago, well over a decade now, I would assume, I confessed sin the very last time, and I took a big gulp and wondered what was going to happen and what life would be like without making this confession of sins on a constant and ongoing basis. And, of course, the result of that was a tremendous peace in my life. But, you know, it just kind of started nagging at my brain and thinking about it. If I'm not confessing sins, why am I praying prayers for things? All of this just seemed to go in the same direction of the gospel.
That is a fantastic point, because what more important prayer could a Christian pray other than confessing their sins?
Absolutely. So that prayer went out the window immediately 10 years ago. And since that time, there's just been a cascading effect, I guess, over a 10-year period. Because, you know, the one thing that I knew even before that was that God does not inhabit our praises anymore. Goodness, I was teaching that 20 years ago, that God inhabits us. He doesn't inhabit our praises. And so the issue of needing to praise, or the reason for praising, definitely drastically changed. It was not to get a response from God. And so the confession of sin, praise as an issue of getting a response from God, went out the window. And the more that I began to understand the completed work of Christ and of the cross, the need for prayer. And again, I really appreciate, Glenn, you telling people, you know, do what you want. Because I've never told anybody to stop confessing their sins. I've never told anybody to stop going to church. In fact, on this very webcast, I've encouraged people to continue going. don't, please don't quit. You know, you haven't had enough. You need to keep going back. And we never will tell somebody to stop praying. Any of these things. These are matters of the heart. They are the deepest and closest matters of the heart. I'm delighted though to share the experience of the liberation that has done for my heart and the maneuverability, if you will, of the gospel to move through my brain and through my mind. It's almost as though that discharging these things as acts of any kind of communicating or relating to God on any level other than the blood of Christ. That's the thing that began to be overwhelming is, why do I need these other forms of connection to God when I've got the blood of Christ?
Go ahead.
I can't get any closer. I can't get any cleaner. I can't get any higher. There's nothing I can attain to by doing anything or asking for anything that the blood of Jesus has not done.
So what I was going to ask is, why does Christianity continue to appeal to people to do something or not do something so that they can be closer to Christ?
Because they don't know the truth. They don't know the gospel. That is why that we preach a Christianity-free gospel. It is Christianity is an antithesis, if you will, to the gospel. I know that sounds absolutely crazy when it first hits the brain. I met somebody the other day for the first time, and I just simply made the comment, and they weren't religious people. They kind of had tossed, you know, Christianity and pretty much all religion in the same heap. But they want to know what I do. I mean, what in the world am I going to say? I can't say I'm a Bible teacher. Just think of what they're going to think about me. I can't say that. And so I have to say, well, let me give you the 2-minute Reader's Digest version. And I really do. I keep it to 2 minutes or under.
All right. So when somebody says, and you know they have a predisposition against religion in general, and they say, what do you do? What is your 2-minute Reader's Digest version?
I say, well, really, to tell you what I do, I said, can I give you 2-minute Reader's Digest version of what I do? And they said, well, of course. I say, okay. 39 years ago, I started out in the ministry, and then of course their eyes, you know, do the little trick. And then I say, but over the process of time, I began to see the fault with what I was teaching and what I had been taught. Also, during the process of all of this, I came to grips with my sexuality, even though that had nothing to do with my persuasion about the things that I come to understand. And I really began to see that Christianity was not the same as the gospel. I had a whole lot of conclusions along the line as far as what I was saying, and people were really turning out and coming to hear me when I was saying some of these new things, until the pastors began to realize they were going to lose control if I was free to say these things. So I got kicked out of the best churches in the world. But the very basis of what I teach that is contrary to Christianity is that I teach that Jesus, the work that Jesus did on the cross, redeemed everybody. Nobody's going to hell. We're all one with God.
Yeah, well, that was a little under 2 minutes, actually.
And without exception, they all say, I believe that.
You know, when people ask me, I tell them about the radio show that we do. And when people ask me, well, what is it about? And I say, well, in a nutshell, it's a recovery program for Christians.
Yeah.
And when they go, really? How's that work? And that, of course, opens up a huge opportunity to share this gospel that we share every week. And a gentleman that has been down the road with us as a recovering former Christian is online with us. We're happy to welcome on line the maestro and the senior correspondent for the Buckeye State from the Cincinnati, Ohio Metroplex. Please welcome online Mr. Greg Amberge. Gregory?
How's it going, guys?
Guys, we're having a grand time thus far.
Glenn, I was really disappointed with the opening tonight because you did not call Mike the False Christ. That's my favorite name for him. and if I ever have Mike to Ohio for a thing, I'm going to introduce him as the False Christ.
Well, that might be, Michael, if you decide to be buried somewhere or have some sort of monument or plaque, that might be just Michael Williams, the False Christ.
I accept the title greatly because we all know the real one, so I would have to be the false one.
We would all be false one unless everybody understands that we understand our identity, that we are one and the same. You know what I want on my tombstone, fellas?
Pepperoni?
That's just what Sean said. I want to have Glenn Klein, and that I want to have Glenn Klein, and then in quotes, Shalom, everybody.
Shalom, everybody. That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll make sure you get it.
Well, Greg is on the eve of a huge musical event tomorrow night. Very excited. Why don't you share with the beautiful humans around the planet what you are about tomorrow evening? Very excited.
Oh, okay. One of my friends he's an Emmy winner. He's been on TV a lot, especially here in the tri-state many years ago, and he's doing a concert tomorrow night, and I'm part of the band. It's going to be fun. And it's
awesome.
at a room that I did not know existed. Andrew Carnegie built several, you know, libraries across the country, but mm-hmm. five of those libraries also had acoustically perfect theaters built into them. Mm-hmm. And this thing had been in disrepair and had not been used for 70 years. And a philanthropist in Cincinnati redid the building. It's unbelievable. And I was standing in the back today listening to Rob sing with no microphone. And then I went up and stood next to him and I said, it's the same volume. It's the same volume in the back of the room as it is right here. So I'm really excited about playing there tomorrow night.
And, of course, you'll be playing nothing but worship and praise and Christian music.
Well, actually, no, Rob is going to do his song called Music, Sex, and Cookies that he's kind of famous for.
I stand corrected.
Yes.
You know, Gregory, we were talking about this road that we've been on, which includes a lack of petitioning God for anything. And a guy like you can relate to what we've been talking about the last few minutes.
Well, absolutely, because, you know, I grew up praying for everything. Just prayer was just a normal part of my life. And whenever a problem came around, my first reaction was always, you know, pray first. And then, we all did the same thing. And sometimes the prayer got answered, sometimes it didn't, and there seemed to be no rhyme or reason as to why. Even you know, we would always talk about, we'll understand this later on. Sometimes you'd look back 20 years later and say, that still makes no sense to me, why that prayer didn't get answered. If you wanted to honestly reflect on it. Sometimes you would see things that would happen that would may even seem miraculous, but most of the time there was very little change that occurred from what I mean. We always prayed, but we always went to the doctor too. You know what I'm saying?
Well, because you had intelligent parents that had
not completely
gone insane. We know, without a shadow of a doubt, that there are parents all over the planet that refuse to go to doctors, Michael, because it shows a lack of faith.
Oh, absolutely. If evangelical doctrine that is preached by Benny Hinn, T.D. Jakes, all of these guys of that genre that have a voice, if you actually listen to their doctrine about healing, you really should not go to the doctor. that is in and of itself a lack of a demonstration of a lack of faith. So there's a there's so much abuse wrapped up in Christianity, the potential for abuse. The only way you do not become abused or become an abuser is if you don't really believe it. Anybody that completely embraces Christianity will become abused, and they will become abusers.
Yeah, I was talking to my father earlier this afternoon, and I was shocked last week, folks, after the webcast on Thursday, when my folks live in Southern California, and Michael and I have been doing this show, and many of you have been listening since day one, for 6 years, and I know for a fact that my parents have never listened to the webcast. They know that I do it. They know what it's about in a general sort of way. And for some reason, my folks logged on, Michael and Greg, to the webcast. And I was blown away. And so, of course, I had to go back to listen to last week's show to hear what they actually heard. So, and actually, it was pretty good. I mean, whether you've been in the gospel for a long time and Christianity for a long time, or whether you have absolutely no clue, it was actually pretty good. And today my dad called me, the first time I talked to him since the last show, and he said, so what happens to these Christians that you're trying to recover? Where do they go? What happens to their faith? Where do they go for their faith? And it was so beautiful, fellas, because I was able to tell him, we are not supposed to have faith.
Yeah.
Not the kind of faith that was required in the Torah, the Jewish scriptures. Not the kind of faith, certainly, that was demanded of by God. And I was able to tell my dad, because he listened and he understood what he was listening to. I was able to tell him that the point of the whole story is to find faith, not in and of ourselves, but in Christ, the faith of Christ. That is what redeemed the planet, not our faith. Folks, you're not redeemed because of your faith in Christ. You are redeemed because the faith of Christ. And Mikey, this is dealt with in Michael's book, folks. It's going to be coming out relatively shortly. But the difference between the statement of being in Christ or the faith in Christ and faith of Christ, just two little letters, it makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it?
It does. It makes all the difference in the world. And the only writer to use the term faith of God or the faith of Christ is Paul. All of evangelical Christianity tries to whitewash that term out of the New Testament altogether. But they say it's a mistranslation, but it is not a mistranslation. If anything, it would be the others are mistranslated. But the issue is that it would be very bizarre that the translators of the New Testament would only mistranslate Paul's letters as to this statement, and opposed to the rest of the writers of the New Testament. None of them mention the faith of God or the faith of Christ at all. There's so many parts of understanding of the gospel that Paul had that none of the rest of them demonstrated any knowledge of whatsoever. None. And it really is remarkable if you just sit back and let these guys speak for themselves and accept what they say they know and accept what they say they don't know. And it just on its face, it's a very powerful thing to look at. For sure.
Mike, let me say this before I hang up and let somebody else have a turn on that subject. If you're new to the webcast, one of the cool things that you can do right now, go read the book, go read Paul's writings where he brags about not going up to hang out with the people in Jerusalem, where
yes.
He brags about, I went to the desert to learn the gospel. I didn't learn it from men, I learned it from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's key, because of what was going on at that time. He was saying, you know, he's basically laying out why Philippians or Galatians and James are books that are at odds with each other. You can read it. and what we teach is that the what we call the New Testament is not Scripture. Yeah. It may be commentary on Scripture, but Paul and James, you do not have to reconcile their writings to come up with some bizarre theology. Paul spells it out for you. He said, I didn't get this from these guys in Jerusalem.
That's exactly right.
That's all I have.
No, that is phenomenal. That is absolutely right. And these guys, Michael, and by the way, we're going to be looking at this at the summit coming up oh my God, it's just a week from Friday, for God's sake.
I know.
We're going to be looking at the writings and the teachings of Peter and James and John and Jude. These writings, as Greg so accurately points out, Michael, are in direct conflict with the book of Romans, the book of Galatians, the book of Hebrews, Colossians. I mean, Paul could not have been more at war, if you will, as far as their teaching is concerned, than with these so-called saints of God.
No, that's exactly correct, and Greg's views on this are they're really very real and very powerful. And this is not just a summation of, I think Paul's right and I think they're wrong, or vice versa. They say in their letters they disagree with each other. They call each other names. They let it be known that they do not trust each other. And the negative opinions are just flying, and it's, of course, it's demonstrated very flagrantly in Acts 15 and Acts 21. This relationship was established, this adversarial relationship, coexisting in as much harmony as possible, because they kept separate. Do you realize they deliberately stayed separate from each other? They didn't go preach together. They didn't go teach together. That just never, ever happened. And so it's very powerful to be able to see these things and embrace the fact of what others have pointed out as contradictions. These are not contradictions about the gospel. These are disagreements between men about the gospel.
Yes.
The gospel is revealed in its entirety by the scriptures.
What an important distinction that is. These are not contradictions about the gospel. These are disagreements about
yes.
the gospel.
Yes.
What an amazing difference that is. And by the way, folks, if you have ever, when you hear this, and you will hear it if you follow Christianity at all, whether it be live and in person in a church or just in the media, when you hear ministers say that there's absolutely no contradictions in the Bible, they are either completely ill-informed, ignorant of the Bible, or they're lying.
Yeah.
One of two things. You cannot, in any kind of honest way, look at the New Testament writings and not say that that those guys were not at odds with each other, that there was not a major disagreement amongst James and John and Peter and Paul. You can't say that, honestly, intelligently. Gregory.
No, it's
go ahead, Mike.
It's like playing a game of Twister, and they read Peter, James, and John, and on the subject of sin, they yell, right hand on red, and everybody tries to grab the same dot, and then the left foot on yellow, and you're going to have a twisted mess.
But you can't stand
on 2 feet and look at these writings and ever say they agree with each other.
Yeah, but Twister's a lot more fun than Christianity, that's for sure. Get all twisted
the potential's
up
there, at least.
With all those bodies and stuff. The potential's there. I like that. Gregory.
All right. Thanks
Greg.
Guys. It's as always, it was a pleasure.
Have a great gig tomorrow.
Hours.
All right. Thanks.
Let us know.
Late. There goes Greg Ambergy from Cincinnati, Ohio. And when we return, we're going to be talking about the summit and taking your calls. We've got that line available for you now at 1-800-436-3260. If you've been calling and have gotten a busy signal, this is your cue to give us a call at 800-436-3260 in Canada and the United States. That's toll-free all over the world if you're listening live. It is about 25 minutes until 10 o'clock here on the East Coast of the U.S. of A. Your number to call is 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. And we will continue with this line of thinking and this line of discussion right now on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
In the beginning, God said, "Let us make man in our own image, male and female, and call them Adam." And it was good. In the fall, the image of God was corrupted, but not forever.
When God created man in his own image, and we're not talking about somebody else creating an image, we're talking about God himself creating man in his own image. And then the fall of man, God knew he would have to destroy his own image. Let me tell you something I know now about the new creation, that your heart is designed by God to suffer, endure, and recover from all loss, no matter how horrific the loss is.
The Image of God. This 6-CD series is available for $48 plus shipping and handling, or download it now for $24 by clicking the download link at gospelrevolution.com. The Image of God. Get your copy today.
Well, I misspoke, ladies and gentlemen. Not the first time, and it certainly will not be the last time. I have been corrected by the Secretary of Defense of the Gospel Revolution. He is defending the truth. The summit is 2 weeks from Friday, not 1 week from Friday. Jeff Robertson, correcting me. At least I know he's listening. That's a good thing. Yeah, 2 weeks from Friday, the summit commences here in the Bay of the Holy Spirit at the Days Inn, the Tampa Airport Days Inn. Very easy to get to. Fly into Tampa, you pick up the free shuttle, you dropped off at the Days Inn. Happy hour starts at 5:30 at Green Iguana, literally next door to the Days Inn. So looking forward to seeing you there. For information about the summit, this is Gospel Revolution Summit number 2. Just go to the website and you can call the office and talk to Jeff about all the particulars. The phone number of the office is at the top left-hand corner of the homepage. And now a man who is very familiar with the summit's goings-on is online with us from the great volunteer state of Tennessee. Please welcome in our Smoky Top correspondent, Mr. Jackie Barnard. Jackie!
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Jackie, thanks for holding on.
Hey,
and how saved have you gotten in the last 20 minutes since you've been holding on?
Just saved and saved and saved and saved.
You sound like you're in a bank vault right now.
I'm in the foyer of my the plant building. The reception was so poor in my office, I had to come down here.
Oh, that's right. You're at work.
Yeah, we're so glad you called. So Jackie was at the First Gospel Revolution Summit in Houston at Michael's home. To say that that was life-changing for you, Jack, I think would be a significant understatement.
Absolutely.
Tell us about it.
I could give you the long answer or the short answer, so I'll give you the short answer. The short answer is I met a very beautiful and wonderful lady by the name of Billy Thompson, a fellow gospel revolutionary. From Huachuca City, Arizona, the original cowgirl.
I used to not be able to pronounce that city's name until, I don't know if Jeff, I think Jeff corrected me on that one, too. As is his wont in life.
At any rate, Billy and I met at the summit, and we have, and here's the short version, we are engaged, and making sure nobody's listening to me here because it's a secret here at work until Monday. Monday I'll be turning in my 2 weeks notice.
All right.
And I'll be selling my house and moving to Huachuca City, Arizona.
Well, mazel tov. Mazel tov, Jackie.
Congratulations.
And Billy.
Yay.
Well, you know, I believe, Michael, and correct me if I am wrong, but I think this is our first lifelong commitment that has come via the Gospel Revolution. We've had a lot of breakups. We've had some marriages reconciled because of the Gospel Revolution, but this might be the original.
We have had everything. I don't know if it has been, this would be the first or not, but it's the one that I'm aware of right now. I'm so excited for you guys. My goodness. I have to say that my SUV played a major role in this. And I'm telling
you, your SUV,
on their
your
honeymoon in my SUV, because that's really kind of where this, you know, Jackie asked me if he could take my SUV because
yes.
He and this beautiful lady together wanted to go shop for souvenirs. I thought, who goes shopping for souvenirs on the northwest side of Houston?
Exactly.
What are you going to find? So I just went along with the story, and then I had to go along with the story that they were lost for 3 hours and couldn't find their way back to my house.
I know.
Well, to top that, our destination was Love's Truck Stop.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there's a sign from God for sure.
That was it.
The only other better thing would be if you got directions from Love's Truck Stop and then stopped at Love's Yogurt to have some yogurt. Jack, all right, so come clean.
Billy likes iced coffee.
All right, so come clean, Jackie. Were you truly lost? Did Jeff Robertson need to actually stay with you on the phone to direct you back to Michael's home? Did that actually happen, or was that just a prolonged betrothment?
No, it actually happened that way. I truly got lost.
He was really lost.
He
wasn't lost in the car. He was lost in love.
Right. So you owe your incredibly bad sense of direction to finding the love of your life. That's what you're telling me.
No. I found my direction. We found our direction, and we're just following our heart.
Bro, we are so excited for you, and. All I have to ask is, in the caricatures that Billy drew of all of us that were in attendance at that first Gospel Revolution Summit, and I know Michael was a teacup poodle, by request, by the way.
By request.
Myself, I was a bulldog, which I kind of like. Carla's behind me as a Cocker Spaniel. Massaging my shoulders and have already presented a cup of tea and honey. What did Billy draw you as? What kind of canine were you?
Well, actually, I was a golden retriever.
Oh, hell yeah, you are.
I had sent her a picture of a golden retriever puppy with a rose in its mouth. And so that's why there's a rose in that dog's mouth.
Oh.
Now we know the rest of the story.
Yes, we do. I think, if I'm not mistaken, and Jeff will again correct me, I think that cartoon is available at gospelrevolution.com and is worthwhile seeing. All the attendants, including Richard Mull from Garden Grove, California, by way of video technology, appears in that cartoon.
We'll be studying two things for the rest of our lives, the gospel and this caricature drawing, because it is so detailed. I'm sure years from now we'll be finding out new things as to what it means.
hidden meanings from Huachuca City.
Hidden meanings, absolutely.
Jackie, you have been aptly titled the Poet Laureate of the Gospel Revolution. And the way the gospel comes out of Michael is a certain way. The way the gospel comes out of me is a certain way. The way the gospel comes out of Kate Benham is a certain way. The way the gospel comes out of Grant Miller is a certain way. But the way the gospel comes out of you, and everybody too, by the way, is a certain way. And you've got a gift to put the gospel into poetry. And how much has that been a place of satisfaction for your soul to be able to articulate the gospel via poetry?
Again, I can give you the long answer and the short answer. The short answer is I want to and I enjoy it. The long answer is when that inner knowing shines a new light on the inner truth or an inner truth and throws it into a new light, a new detail or focus, then my heart wants to give an outward expression of that. And I have found that I have a better word, or I have a propensity to put it in verse. And that's what I like to do. So
your latest one that I was so honored to have you personally read to me the other day is called Inclusion by Seclusion. Do you have a copy of that with you right now?
I do not. It's in the office, and out here where I am, it's kind of blustery. I couldn't, if I printed it off, it would blow around in my hand, so I couldn't do it justice.
May I have another honor of reading it to you?
Oh, please do.
And to the assembled masses across the globe?
And guys, I'm gonna let you guys go for now, and thank you for letting me make Billy's and my announcements, and thanks to all you guys. Love you all.
All right, well, Jackie, check out the archive because I'm going to be reading your poem right now.
We know what the title of the session, don't we?
Inclusion by Seclusion.
No.
Once again, Jackie, you have entitled the webcast. So
yes, you did, as it was many times.
Thank you very much.
It's going to be entitled Congratulations.
Mazel tov.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks for calling, Jackie.
Okay. Thank you. Good night,
bye-bye,
guys.
All right. There goes Jackie.
Thanks, Jackie.
Barnard.
Love you.
But now we are going to hear Jackie Barnard's Inclusion by Seclusion. Abraham bid his servant stay while he and Isaac trod the way to carry that place that God had chosen to carry out the consummation. Then Abraham with torch in hand and Isaac with the wood bowed down, the two alone climbed to Moriah's brow. A pyre of stones did Abraham form and laid the wood and bound his son. He held his breath and drew the dagger. His faith in God never staggered. God would raise the child of Sarah, the son of promise who came so late. And there alone, with none to witness, he raised his blade to do God's bidding. One moment, and the deed he'd finish. One heartbeat, and a life would end. One blink, before the knife descended, a voice called out, "Don't harm your son." And there amidst a crown of thorns, a ram was fastened by his horns. God had, by his own device, provided them a sacrifice. Never has a painter's hand, though master he may be, portrayed a scene like this before, and never will again. The Father and the Son, secluded from the eyes of men, together in the solitude, in harmony embraced. Now looking forward through the years, we see another day when darkness fell, to keep from view the eyes of all but two. When the Father and the Son fulfilled the type of Abram, and God spared not his own dear son. In the shadow of the altar cross, Christ's faith did not waver once. When God exclude all the race, that he might save them all in grace. In the shadow, at midday, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And that is Jackie Barnard. When Jackie read that to me, Michael, he read it in tears.
I can imagine.
When you write something or say something that is so profound that it brings yourself to tears,
mm-hmm.
That's beyond yourself.
That's beyond yourself, yeah.
You can see all of Jackie's poems at gospelrevolution.com. We've got an entire section on gospel revolutionary poetry, and you will enjoy that. Jackie, thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling. And, oh, my God, I am so excited for the future that you are going to have with Billy Thompson. Here's two people. They could be both men. They could be both women. They could be a man and a woman. Billy and Jackie. I like that.
Billy and Jackie.
I love that. Mazel tov, you guys. We love you. Can't wait to see you
love
again.
You bunches.
We're hoping Jackie can somehow make it down for the Gospel Revolution Summit number two that is starting November 4th, 2 weeks from Friday. We will be there with bells on. And we are happy to report, so will the very talented Sean O'Halloran. He has already informed me that the wedding next week? The wedding's the following week. So Sean will be there at happy hour at the Green Iguana, right next to the Days Inn Tampa Airport, for our pre-summit festivities. It's actually not pre, it will be the beginning of the festivities. Mike will be teaching, and we need you guys to be sharing, during the event. So, if at all possible, for those of you guys that are either in the southeast of the U.S. or can be, come down to Tampa, please get in touch with Jeff. The phone number's on the homepage at gospelrevolution.com. It also went out with the last several emails, so we would love to see you there. A man that we have been so honored to have in our presence at the Gospel Revolution Convention is on with us live from Estevan, Saskatchewan in Canada, our Saskatchewan Canadian correspondent. Please welcome online Mr. James Gustafson. James!
How are you tonight?
Oh, James.
Hey, James.
We're having a really good time.
I'm hearing part of it. I'm on a cell phone, and the guest you just had on, I couldn't hear real clearly, but.
Well, the beautiful thing is, James, that you can go back to the archive and listen to the whole thing.
I will. I'm out in the middle of a field driving a tractor, so it's dark here, but we got to go. So
you got your lights on, huh?
It's the harvest season. Well, it's chilly down here, so a lot of people have their headlights on as well tonight, James.
Doing our fall work.
Give me the temperature in Saskatoon.
In Saskatchewan? Well, it just told me that it was +8 here, Celsius.
So what does that correspond to Fahrenheit?
Well, zero is freezing, so it's going to go down to -40, 3 or 4 tonight.
Oh, you're cold up there in the north.
Yeah, well,
Saskatoon. It's cool. I'm totally blaming that on Sean's writing.
Okay.
Sean wrote Sasquatch as Sasquatch, Canada.
I know nobody can spell it.
It's Saskatoon. I mean, that's not that hard.
Not Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
It's Saskatchewan. Just what I said. Saskatchewan. That's exactly what I said.
Yeah.
James, how are you guys? God, we miss you guys so much. You and Gail.
Well, we're doing fine. I talked
and
to Jeff today.
And that grandbaby's doing good.
Oh yeah, we had her for 3 weeks. Babysitter. Tara's babysitter went to Hungary for 3 weeks, so she couldn't find anybody. So we picked her up, and we had a blast.
Her babysitter went to Hungary on vacation?
I think so. I think that was where it was.
Why in the world would anybody go to Hungary? For all due respect to the folks that are listening to Hungary, and we know we have people listening in Hungary, why would anybody go to Hungary on vacation?
I can't answer that.
Fair enough.
Maybe it wasn't even there, but I think that's where it was.
All right. So what do you got for us tonight, my brother, from another mother?
Well, Jeff phoned me today and asked me to try and get down to that summit. And like I told him, we've got about 5,000 acres yet to do here before we end up the season. So I'm pushing hard.
Dude, wait. Why are you calling us? Get out there and do some harvesting, brah.
He's out there.
I'm not. I'm out here.
Are you moving as we speak?
I just put my foot on the clutch here because the engine was a little loud, so
right.
I just
all right. Can you rev up the engine for us? We want to hear the engine.
Rev
it up. Let's hear it.
There it is.
I'm sure he's running this thing GPS.
That is all
GPS.
That is a smooth run.
All GPS.
That is a smooth
he
running.
He just sits there.
Well, that's a smooth running engine. We cannot hear it.
Okay. Well, I'm inside a good cab, but.
Okay. I know you are.
But, you know, that's what we're doing. We're trying to get this thing sewed up before the 3rd. Takes me a whole day to get into Tampa Bay, you know.
I know.
I think Mike knows that. I got to fly into Toronto, I think, or Calgary, and then Houston, and then Tampa Bay. If I go
that's
the west
exactly
way,
right.
If I go the east way, it's Toronto and Denver, and then Tampa Bay.
Well, I'll tell
oh
you,
gosh.
James, I'll tell you what. If you make it down to Tampa, I will buy you your first beer. How about that?
Okay.
Okay.
Jeff sent me a set of tapes called The Mystery of Unbelief.
Oh, yeah.
I've been through that twice today. I can't even believe that I sat in those meetings.
Really?
So much in there. Yeah, you did those in Calgary.
You were in those meetings.
What?
You were in the meetings, and now you've listened to the series two times today.
Yeah.
I was going to ask if you had a CD player in your cab, and apparently the answer, or you must have some way of listening to them.
Yeah, no, this one, we have 4 of these, and I think there's 2 of them that have them. I got in one today that has it, so.
That's awesome. You know, the email that went out today encouraged people, James, to listen to the gospel in whatever form, whether it be through teaching or discussion or song or study, somehow to get it into their brains on a consistent basis. Here's a guy, ladies and gentlemen, that heard the teaching in person and today listened to it twice. There's amazing things that get missed. It was Chris Harrington who talked about listening to a certain teaching series over 70 times, and every single time they would hear, or that he would hear it, he would hear something fresh and something that he had not heard in the way that he had heard it before. The gospel's alive and well, isn't it, James?
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Just, you know, just I'm so grateful for the CDs. I remember so well just trying to switch over to the CDs, and I tried to do it myself. We had a caller come in the other day, James, and asked why the railroad tracks were on that one series.
I heard that, yeah.
I was like, okay, now you know why I don't do it anymore. But it was 17 hours a day, me doing things 17 hours a day for really almost 2 weeks, literally anywhere from 12 to 17 hours a day, trying to get this CD machine to work. Most of it spending time trying to just learning how to run the computer to run the things. I had to learn things I didn't even want to know. But to now we have them out there, and to know that they are being produced now in a much more sane way by much saner people for the job, at least. And you know, and now they're in a. See, this really touches my heart. These things aren't just something that we talk about, folks. These CDs are in a tractor being guided by GPS from a satellite in the heavens as to how to go and harvest this corn, or whatever it is that James is harvesting today, and all run by computers, and he's sitting there in this computerized machine. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of dollars it probably costs, and he's got his CD player and the CDs from the session that he was at last year. And, you know, and James, you're talking about it like you've never heard it before.
I know. It's amazing.
Well, James, we can't thank you enough, brother. And all kidding aside, if there's any way you can get down here, we would love to hug your
neck.
Love
to have you.
So get down here, okay?
I'm gonna give it my best shot.
All right, buddy.
All right, James.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
All right.
There's James Gustafson, ladies and gentlemen, from Saskatchewan, Canada. See, I said Esteban,
yeah.
Saskatchewan. I can say that. And now our last caller of the evening, teed up from the Peach State of the United States of America. We go way north to way south. Please welcome online our dear brother, Mr. Matt Perry. Matt!
Oh, it's that's me. Yeah.
It is you, Matt. Matthew, okay. Matt, I cannot thank you enough, bro, for your participation in the gospel. What you do on Facebook.
I'll take that.
Try, Beth. I got you. What's going on?
Well, I called earlier on, and it took me a while to get on, and I heard you say earlier you wanted to just keep it to as timely as possible, and I know Sean likes to get home on time too. I told him I'd keep it short, so I'm just going to keep what I was going to say till next week or
we
got you here.
No, we want to hear what you have to say right now, my brother.
Oh, so you made a rule, now you got to break it.
God damn it. You know what? I hate the rules, but we're gonna try.
Well, the real reason I dialed the phone was when Jackie Barnard said he and Billy Thompson hooked up. I was gonna say I'm planning on going to the summit.
Awesome.
But as long as everything works out, but there's a real good chance of it. And if any cute girls want to meet a 30-year-old guy, he looks pretty cute himself.
That's exactly right, my brother. GospelRevolution.com, the dating service for people that are free. That's what we like. That's good. That's
as good a reason for coming as any I know.
That's exactly right.
If you stay for 2 days, I'll drop my standards. I might, you know. So
that's awesome.
I guess the question I was going to say, I've been thinking a lot about the oneness thing, and I realized that, you know, when I first heard the gospel, I understood it a lot, or at least mentally, and it just kind of shook me, and it kind of sent me on a trajectory away from my old mindset in such a way that I let a lot of things just settle, and I've never really fully grasped it. I guess there's a way we can say we all never really fully grasp it, but
exactly
I'm realizing there's a big part of it that I think I get, and I really don't. So.
Well, all right. So I have to ask, because being the professional radio host that I am, what part do you grasp?
Well, I definitely get the redemption part. I don't feel any kind of a need to please God, and I feel like, you know, when I die and when everyone he dies in our physical life, everything's good to go, and we're all, you know, whatever that's going to be, it's not going to be hell, and there's nothing to live up to here. Even the prayer part, I don't pray. I mean, y'all were talking about that earlier, and I pray a lot less, although I admit I still get these really bad days where it might just be for myself, talking to myself, but I still,
quite,
you know,
all right.
Yeah. It helps in the meantime. I don't know if it's really doing anything, but it helps me feel better, and I do it less and less. It's not like I'm trying not to. It's just that I kind of see a futility in it and a lack of need. I see it. I figure if God is listening, he already knows what I'm going to say, and I should be the one listening, not him to me. But I'm not trying to hear a voice either. It's just like being open to.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
If any kind of meditation, Michael, which literally means mutter, does anything, and we know it does when it's gospel based, it does help us. It does help ourselves.
Yeah. That'll be what Paul was talking about with speaking in tongues, where it edifies yourself.
Yep. And that's the wonderful thing about the gospel, is there is not an instruction manual for what to do and what not to do. The gospel fits your heart exactly where it is today, just the same, Matt, as it fit your heart perfectly when you first heard it. And it fits your heart perfectly today. It has not insisted on any changes, pro or con, in any direction. And it is not insisted on you that you quit confessing sins. It has not insisted that you quit praying or that you do pray. The gospel has insisted on nothing. So really what you're doing is following your heart. So goodness gracious, that's the thing that as always excites me, is that knowing that you're following your heart. And where you are is where you are, and that's the only place you need to be.
Yeah, I make a real strong effort to follow my heart, even if it's not an effort. It's just an awareness of it, and it'll take me places where my mind would. I would be a. There's no way I would mentally choose to be in the position. I don't want to get into any personal details, but. I mean,
we got to get into some personal details.
Well, we're not going to go there.
No, I'm just kidding. But here's the thing that everybody, and you must realize, that it is your mind making those decisions to follow your heart. You see, here's the thing, folks, is that you can't do anything that you don't want to. And when your influence, as Matt is articulating, when you're influenced by your heart that has been embraced by the gospel, that is infused and intercoursed with the Holy Spirit, you can trust that, even when it leads you into a quote-unquote wrong decision. Matt, you said it so beautifully. I mean, it is a
chance. Well, I was going to finish. I was going to say, if I was a stranger to myself, if I was you or somebody else who was just observing myself from a completely unknown perspective as a stranger, I would say this guy's crazy. He doesn't know what he's doing, and he's making foolish decisions. But me being myself, knowing the consciousness of every decision I make, even if it's extreme, even if the consequences are really weighty and something that maybe people wouldn't do, it's something that in the end, it does make sense a long time and sometimes immediately. It's a wild ride. I mean,
let me tell you something that I don't know if anybody on the planet that just heard what you said can relate, but the two guys you're on the phone with right now can completely relate.
You know, I'll say this about what Matt's saying and how I've related to the gospel, and I know Glenn has and many others, and that's a good old Billy Joel song. You may be right, I may be crazy, but it just may be a lunatic you're looking for. Follow your heart, Matt. You're a good man.
All right, y'all. Thanks for the time.
Hey,
I'm looking forward
to you better get your butt down here, brah.
I plan on it. I just, you know, there's a lot of things that let me down in life, so I don't want to let anyone else down by saying I'm going to, but someone told me that they're going to help me out, so as long as that works out.
All right, well, if that works out, all you got to do is get on to 75 and put it in cruise control. And
If I
got the gas and like $100 in my pocket, I'm good to go.
I don't know that you need it. Well, you probably need $100. That's about it.
James' tractor could find its way down here.
Thank you so much for calling, Matthew.
Thanks, Matt. We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
There's Matt Perry from the great state of Georgia.
Yeah.
That cat's been calling for a long time. We've never had that kind of conversation.
No, that's true.
That I can say. And I know he went up to Pennsylvania to Geo House pig roast this summer.
Yeah.
And this is the connectedness. Folks, let me tell you something. People always ask, where should we go once we understand the gospel? You should go right here. Because all of a sudden you find yourself getting engaged to somebody that you hadn't met before that just happens to show up at a house in Houston. You end up at a pig roast in Pennsylvania. You might end up at a Gospel Revolution Summit in Tampa in a couple of weeks. So we'll be there. We hope you are, too.
You just never know.
Well, you know what? I'm within my parameter. I was hoping to get off by 10 after 10. And we're just about
there.
And
here we are.
I did good. I did good, Mike.
You did good.
And our callers did good. They called in early. They called in often. That's what we're asking from you guys. We've got to hear your heart. You cannot replace the conversations that we had tonight with Greg.
None of them.
And with Jackie and with Matt and with James. You can't replace those conversations.
Yeah.
Last week, ladies' night. We had ladies' night last week. If you haven't listened to that webcast, go back and listen to October 12th, 2/11. That was, we had the ladies on that night. You need to hear that.
Yep.
Mikey, thank you for everything that you've done and everything that you're doing. The amount of love that is emitting from around the planet towards Houston, Texas right now cannot be overstated.
I feel it, I know it, and goodness gracious. And and everybody that was tuned in tonight or by the archives, we really do care. And you have anybody out there can call anytime that they want. If you call in the middle of the night, I'm probably not going to answer, but you'll get a return call. You can call me. You can call Glenn. You can call in the office where Jeff is. We are here, so don't hesitate. If you just got something that you want to share, that's quite all right. We're a big family. It's a good family, and people support each other, and they call, they stay in touch, and it's just a beautiful thing. So we love you a lot. Thank you so much for all that you've done to help get the gospel out to other people.
I love what you said. It's a good family. You guys, you're part of a family. I know that there have been family members that have disappointed you. We're here for you. I'll even get you Sean's number. Sean will take your call. You want to talk to Sean O'Halloran. He's been sitting and soaking in this gospel for over 3 years now. And he looks good doing it. I would be remiss not to read this quick note from Jackie that was sent to our offices. Jeff forwarded to me. He says, this is from Jackie Barnard. He says, I wish I had been able to stay on the line longer. I wanted to tell you, Michael, that if it had not been for your teaching on the gospel all these years, I doubt that Billy or I would have progressed far along enough to have embraced this moment as we have. So Michael's SUV might have contributed or not, but his teaching played a major role for sure. And Jackie says, and we say, Michael, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you guys so much.
Powerful stuff. And speaking of Billy Thompson, Carla chimes in that the dog cartoon by Billy is the Gospel Revolution's version of the painting of the Last Supper.
Yeah, for sure.
a lot of meanings in there, folks. Check it out at GospelRevolution.com. All right, that's it. Sean, we're done. Sean did a quasi-jumping jack there. He scratched his eyebrow. All right, folks, let us hear from you this week at GospelRevolution.com. And if there's any way possible that you can get down to Tampa, I'll let Jeff know at the number on the website. We want to see you 2 weeks from Friday. And as a precursor, as a teaser, if you will, Michael will be in studio the Wednesday after the Gospel Revolution Summit,
That's true.
Something to fully, after a tanning session in one of the larger tanning units here at the Sun Bar, Michael will be here live and in person in the Bay of the Holy Spirit studio. All right, good night, Mikey. We love you.
Night. Love you guys.
I am out of here. The tea and honey I can taste already. Carla, please get it on the stove. I am on my way home, baby. Until next time, folks, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, go Texas Rangers! Shalom, everybody!